You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Well, hello, friends. Welcome. Welcome to you all. It is the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. If you're shopping for a Yamaha golf cart for your rich ass, you can get it there. They, of course, are the newest distributor of Yamaha golf carts in the great state of Michigan. You can also find side-by-sides, ATVs, UTVs, motorcycles, scooters, go-karts, e-bikes. They have it all at Impact Power Sports, and a fantastic service center if you need any work done on your gear that you already have, or in case you need any work after your purchase. You can take advantage of that at impactpowersportsmi.com. I have a fraud bus update for you. As you know, the motorhome is, we have written it off. We are getting rid of the fraud bus purchased last year. We were so excited about that thing to have such a fun way to see the country. Our first trip was marred by catastrophe. And it has been an absolute nightmare since we purchased it. It is it was a Thor motor coach. And you are never, ever, ever to purchase anything made by this company or any of the other companies that are under their umbrella. You are forbidden from ever doing this. I had a solid experience with General RV up until I didn't, and then that quickly soured when I talked to you about the incident with the general manager, Tony Sutton, who, when I sent him the email saying, all right, we're done, and he didn't even get back to me, I had to bust his chops before I ever engaged him in a conversation again, and it was ugly. I came just short of saying, fuck you. So, food for thought for you down the road. But we started the year anew this year with, all right, well, maybe it'll be better. That was a foolish thing to think. We put it into storage for the winter and got it out this year, ready to take it on a trip, drove it up north. Not even a half a tank of gas. And then the dumbest thing started to happen, the malfunction of the side view mirrors have those little blind spot detectors in them. They started going crazy, and it's still not fixed. So I took it back again on the 27th of May, and that was when we made the decision that we no longer want this pile of shit lemon anymore, and we're going to get rid of it. So it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 days now in their possession. So can you imagine if I was keeping it, you know? And last year it was the same thing. Take it back for 25 days at a time. Oh, yeah, we're working on it. Oh, yeah, we just ordered the part. Yeah, it'll be here in 2 weeks. Fuck you. I just heard from a nice guy over there named Trevor. He's a worker bee. He's a nice guy. That the part, I think they said, due to ship to us from the vendor on June 13th. So that means it'll leave June 13th. So it'll probably be there early next week. So possibly next week they could have the work done on it. Now it's to a point where, because all I'm doing is okay, it's done, great. Drive it home here, get all my shit out of it, drive it 5 miles down the road to DC, and then they're going to sell it for me. That's it. But every day that I wait, I get less back on my prorated insurance policy because I buy it all at once at the beginning of the year. And then when you cancel it, they pay you the difference. Every day that goes by, I lose more money. Not to mention every day that passes, it's another day closer to another payment. I'm still making the goddamn payment on the pile of shit. And the longer that these fucking losers have this goddamn pile of shit, that's just another day that I could be selling it. So even after all is said and done, they are still deep stroking my asshole and filling my butt with their goddamn RV dicks. That's what's happening right now. Holy shit. What a bunch of fucking losers. Son of a bitch. And, you know, actually, I'm kind of, you know, with the amount of time that I haven't heard from them, I like forget about it. And then I go for a couple of days without hearing about it. And I'm actually in a good mood. And then I hear from them. I'm reminded again about all of this bullshit. Nick says you should have just canceled your storage and kept it there between trips. Oh, without a doubt. Alan says he's alive. That's referring to today's late start. Yes, I had a scheduled appearance today. I was at Van Andel Arena. So I got to see Nick in the arena. We had a two-dart lunch. And then I was commissioned by my friends at Huntington Bank. That's why I'm dressed in kind of like not dirtbag gear. Typically when I do this show, t-shirt and or hoodie, sweats, Crocs, and hair that looks like I just rolled out of bed because I did. I wasn't able to wear that type of gear in front of people. I actually had to bathe. And get on a pair of jeans. Ugh. And shoes. What? And headed out on my way. Now, what's going on here is that Huntington Bank this week, it's colleague week. Now, the people that work there, our colleagues. So, I mean, that's a fancy way of, I guess, the worker bees. You got branch managers, you got tellers, all these people from the area, Huntington Banks, are at Van Andel Arena. And this is a big party for them, a big celebration. Now, I'll say this. A lot of times when the people who run the bank, because there's these executives that literally are on a private jet flying from area to area to hang out with the colleagues. or the workers. Colleagues is a fancy way of saying the workers. I mean, if you're a banker, though, I mean, you're... These are all... These aren't like hard-living-line employees. Okay? This isn't like if Walmart did a colleague appreciation day. If this happened with area Walmart employees, you know, they would... The floor would be littered with teeth that had fallen out during the event on the employees. All right? Everywhere that they sat, they would have to hose it down with a hot spray of some type of solvent. Not the case here. This place was full of attractive people. Smart, groomed, clean, bright people that it was nice seeing them all. It's nice to see a workforce that is not on the wrong side of a hard living line. Now, I can tell just by the people that work there and the amount of time that the people that I spoke to had worked there that this is a nice place to work. Like, I was talking to various people because my job during various portions was to kind of like, well, the first hour they're eating. They have it's catered by the staff at the Van Andel. They have obviously a terrific kitchen there, and they bring out the food, and the people are eating their food, and they're having their waters and lemonades and coffees, and waiting for the guys on the Learjet to show up. So I walk in. And I've got a cameraman with me. His name is Josh. I've known Josh for decades. And Josh follows me around, and the camera's on me, and I am to interview people. This is full-on Eric Zaytunian interview. This is not Eric Zane. I may say, hello, my name is Eric Zane, but it's not the Eric Zane treatment. So the camera's on me, and what the people see is on the center, the big scoreboard with all the giant, you know, screens. Hello. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
Teresa.
Hey, Teresa. How long you work for Huntington Bank?
18 years.
Wow, that's great. What do you do?
I'm a teller.
Oh, wow. Now, what I want to say is something like, you ever been robbed or whatever? You ever steal any money? But no, I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, this must be a great place to work. All right, thanks. And then I'm just off to the next one. That's all I do. And people are like, oh, God, here he comes. So it's not like anything really substantial is happening, but that's what they paid for. And we want you to go around and, you know, drum up some energy. And I'm like, all right. Bob says, or Alan says, that's wild. That's wild. How long you work here?
18 years.
Oh, that's wild. All right. Hey, man. Okay, let's go. Hey, what's your name?
Don.
Hey, Don. What do you do?
I'm a branch manager.
He didn't sound like that. These, like I said, these are all good people. I detected no body odor. There wasn't any cases of gingivitis worth noting, a tooth rot. So, you know, definitely not a former Zaniac type of crowd. These were well-to-do. When I say well-to-do, these are all middle-class people, which is great. I mean, that's the type of people that you don't always get to hang out with. Most people out in the real world are huge piles of shit, but not these people. So then this is a partnership with the Grand Rapids Rise volleyball team. So the volleyball court is out. And there's even going to be various activities centered around volleyball, all right? But first part of this is me going, hey, what's up? Yeah, hey, all right, okay, let's boogie. You know, bullshit like that. And it was cool. I didn't, you know, it was fine. I tried not to be too annoying, but I think I was pretty annoying. But that's what they paid for. They paid for annoying. So the volleyball coach is there. Her name is Kathy George. And from what I understand, she's very prominent in her field. She's had a long career either playing or coaching volleyball. And the bank is a big sponsor of the volleyball team and the hockey team and Van Andel Arena. So, you know, all I got to do is keep it in full Zaitunian mode. And I will be good to go. And I did. I wish I could share with you something horrifically embarrassing, because this is exactly the type of event that I would embarrass myself at. But I don't really have anything. I'm kind of like searching the files in my brain about anything. But I think I was pretty well behaved. And I didn't do anything. I met some people that remembered me from my past life, so I had a conversation about that. And then we have to kill time because we're waiting for the executive leadership team to show up. Earlier in the day, they were in Minnesota doing the same damn thing. And then they jump on a private jet, and then they land here, and then they're whisked over to the arena. And then they come walk in, they do their thing for 90 minutes, they get back into the limousine, travel on the jet to another portion of the country to do the same damn thing. These 12 people. A lot of cheddar in those pockets, to be sure. So, as they walk in, like, the employees are standing up, waving their rally towels and ringing their cowbells. And it seemed kind of like a North Korea vibe to me. I mean, they were so into it. But I didn't have to prompt them to do it. All the colleagues that are there is like 300 people. They love the bosses. They love them. I'm like, wow, that is weird. I have never, ever worked in a setting where I wanted to do anything other than tell the bosses to fuck off outside of Q100. Q100, I've never had any vibes where I didn't like those people. I liked them very much. But these people just loved them. I'm like, oh, my God. I thought it was going to be, like, uncomfortable that, you know, that they might be, like, there against their will. You have to attend, you know? But no, they were totally cool. But before that, we had some time to kill. And so we had played a couple interactive games, try to give away some prizes, and then we're still, you know, we're starting to bomb. Okay, it's just me and these two coaches of the volleyball team, and we need about 15 minutes before the event can continue. And we're standing in front of a volleyball court with about 150 volleyballs in these big containers, because we're going to do this bit later on where if they can serve it over the net, they get like a toy or something like that. And we're all like, well, what can we do to kill some time? And then one of the volleyball coaches, this guy named Mike, he goes, let's just play volleyball. I'm like, well, yeah, of course. All right, who wants to play some volleyball? And we need 12 and 6. Before you know it, we're playing volleyball. Nick says they got to have more than 200 workers. These were the top 200 ass kissers. Nick is suggesting then that only the best of the best ass kissers were brought in for the event. Like, if you had any qualities that were not ass-kissery, then they would have no need for you. Interesting. Well, it was great. I mean, I have nothing weird to report. The only thing was they had like this plan for the game after the volleyball game broke out. And then, all right, sit down, it's time. Then these guys come in, they're playing like Eye of the Tiger. Hey, leadership team. Yeah, all right. They come out, everybody says a few words, and then that's it, you know. But now we're going to do a game. And the game is Every single one of these people has to come down to the court, and they all get a shot to win a prize. And what you and I explained this. You got to either serve the – if you can serve the volleyball like a serve, either overhand or underhand, and one of the six people there can catch it without moving, you win. And then they thought, oh, no, it's too hard. It can bounce once, and then they can win. But if they're unsuccessful, they can still just throw it in, like the throwing a soccer ball in from out of bounds. And if any one of the six catches it on the other side, then they win. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a lot. And there's, you know, 200 to 300 people that I go, this is gonna take a while. We're gonna be here until Friday. So I explained all the rules, and just like when I was explaining it to you right there, it was a little clunky. There's a lot of layers to that. You, wait, what? I get two shots, but if I won and the bounce and I serve, but I throw and then do the hokey pokey, turn yourself about, win a prize, throw it in, chicken dance. And then I got done explaining it to him. And I go, did y'all get that? And they all are looking at me like this, not quiet. Nobody said a word. And I go, I don't even know what the hell I said either. Come on down. So then they all just come down and they just start bashing the balls. And then, hey, you won. You didn't win. You won. And then everybody got a prize. It didn't matter. It did not matter. The rules were out the window. This is what you call a pivot. At the end of the day, your old pal EZ got the job done. Kept it moving. No one was embarrassed, though you would have loved there to be someone embarrassed. But no. And then everybody left happy. And then I got done. Well, you need anything else? No. And I said, hey, well, I go, I hope I did okay. And the lady who I was dealing with, she goes, you did so awesome. It was so amazing. She gave me the biggest hug ever. See, that just goes to show you. This is a lesson for myself. You don't always have to be a goddamn clown, Eric. Keep it between the lines. Boom. You don't need to be an asshole idiot all the time. Sometimes people just want Eric Zaytunian. Bob said everybody gets a trophy. Yeah, and they all got like a little ball. It was a rubber ball. And these people were happy with that rubber ball. They seem to be overjoyed with the rubber ball. And then that was it. I was on my way back home to talk to you. I have to admit, I was driving. I was like, God damn it. Normally, my day is done. How in the world am I going to pull this off? This seems impossible. To be able to do a podcast and starting it well after the time that I normally finish it. It seems like a daunting task. And I'll admit to you, I was tempted to just say, yeah, something came up. And then just skipping it. But no. No, I was just surrounded by some of the people with the best attitudes in the world. Just happy to be in the world. I will take that energy given to me by the Huntington Bank colleagues, and I will now transfer it to the podcast. That is how I roll. Besides, it beats actually having a job. When I was driving out of the residence today to go to the event, I made a left and then a right, and then I see not one, but two. A heating and cooling company that used to market themselves on this show in the driveway of one of my neighbors, who no doubt discovered them because of your old pal Eric Zane. As you know, I have been cast aside by Big HVAC. And so when I announced, so I saw that those two were there, and I was like, oh, great. And I made the announcement on Facebook that the podcast will be a little late today. And then the guy who runs that nameless, faceless HVAC company commented on the post. And he said,
aye, 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 we are right by your house, senor. We are going to raid your podcast.
And I wrote, I'm calling ICE. That's not such a good thing, because now ICE is just taking anybody, whether they're a Mexican or a white guy. And that brings us to the next topic of our conversation here on this show. Los Angeles has turned into a shit show. This is last night at the Apple store. It's time to loot. Okay, so you see all these folks running down. They're all dressed, completely covered up, except for this dude right here. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And then someone sprayed it on, painted on here, no ice. So they don't like ice. No ice on the windows of the Apple store. And then you're going to go in and take everything inside of the Apple store. It's a lot of people going, this guy's on a bike. Wow. And then everybody inside of there, dressed from head to toe, covered up. This chick here looks like Fat Kardashian, fuck. They're basically getting handfuls of shit inside of the Apple store that are in the, like, on display. Mostly young people. I'm guessing young people. They're all very nimble. And now they hear the 5-0. And then they're like, all right, better get the fuck out of here. This guy's got the, what is this called? Virtual, you know, the thing you put on your eyes? Fucking, I don't know. What is that? Surround sound? Google Lens? No, that's a Google product. This is an Apple. What do they call that shit when you put it on your eyes? Like a, like fucking goggles? Virtual reality? I'm not sure. Anyway, he's got that. They got a lot of them there. All right, now these people are scurrying away, and here's the cop. Now, if I'm the cop, you see this opening? I drive the cop through there and get on the sidewalk and just start mowing people down. That's what should happen. This guy's just walking inconspicuously. To even attempt to be inconspicuous here is remarkable, because they all have face coverings on. They're head to toe in clothes, even though it's almost summer. If you want to be inconspicuous during a loot, dress, you know, in shorts and a t-shirt. Okay, now there's still people in the store. And I don't know if they can't get out or what. This guy's got his bike in there. And now they're like, all right, we got to get out. So they try breaking the window, and they're struggling. Okay, these two here are taking my cue of just going in looking relaxed, but they're looters too. These are the only two white people that we've seen, these two guys right here. Now, maybe they're tourists just caught in a bad spot, or maybe they're looters. That sounds like I'm a racist. Somebody just fired a goddamn gun. Wow. This guy gave up on the window.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You can't do it. It's a tough window to break. Okay, now they're kicking it out the back door. I like how the guys are running out with iPads under their arm and the screen is on. Damn. That is an intense moment. Chris says, what better way to protest ICE than stealing shit? With that in mind, Ben Glaze sent me this guy. I don't know who he is, but he seems awesome.
Someone asked me if I support the protests that are going on in LA. I 100% do. Please keep going. Burn down your own backyard if you must. You know why? Because this right here is the greatest campaign ad that this side never had to pay for. Y'all motherfuckers out there in Los Angeles throwing a full-blown fucking tantrum. Like y'all just crawled out the Rio Grande, screaming death to America in a country that gave you the fucking freedom to do that shit.
Crawled out of the Rio Grande?
You were born at Kaiser Permanente in Burbank. Stop it. You ain't El Chapo, you're Chris from Pasadena. You ain't cartel born. You were Target born with a Costco membership by age 5. Half you motherfuckers protesting ain't even Mexican. You're American with Mexican heritage and a tattoo of the Virgin Mary you got on a Vegas bender. Don't get it twisted. I respect the heritage. But flying a foreign flag while shitting on the country that gave you the fucking freedom to do it, that's not pride. You don't even go to fucking Mexico unless it's for spring break in Cancun with a passport you got from the U.S. government. And you won't go live there. Why? Because you like your DoorDash, your 7-Elevens, your air conditioning, and your freedom to scream dumb shit without a cartel rolling up on your motherfucking ass. And let's be honest, ain't nobody screaming death to Mexico while flying an American flag through Guadalajara. You know why? Because that's how you end up in a back alley, starring in Cartel TikTok Season 3. Meanwhile, the rest of America is sitting back watching you block freeways during rush hour, destroying businesses, wearing $300 fucking Jordans, screaming about injustice in the city with the most social programs and diversity hires in the fucking country. Y'all are the political version of throwing a Molotov cocktail at a fucking Prius because you're mad about gas prices. So listen, I'm not mad you're passionate. I'm mad you're dumb. And your dumbass behavior is helping the other side more than a Trump rally in Texas with free brisket. Every time y'all riot, loot, tearing up your own shit, you're just birthing another red voter. So yeah, I support the protests. Keep fucking going. Keep flying flags of countries you ain't got the fucking balls to move to. And shitting on the system that literally gives you the right to shit on it. Someone asked...
All right. That... Whoever the fuck this guy is. This guy needs a goddamn Purple Heart for that. That was incredible. Cole asks... When are the Marines going to start cracking skulls? God, I would be so... If I was like one of those Marines or those National Guards, they said, all right, your job, kick ass. I'm like, fuck yes, here we go, man. Holy shit. Bob says, I heard a great quote earlier today. Nobody loves Mexico more than someone who refuses to live there. David in Hudsonville says, that guy is awesome. Yeah, it's interesting because... I think that guy's right. You know, I mean, it is cool to protest. It is cool to bitch about shit that you're not happy about. It ain't going to do you any good. But I don't know. I mean, think about it. All the credibility is lost when it just turns into a catastrophe like that. I just don't think it lends to anything positive happening. It's a big, crazy thing. Is it appropriate, in my view, to just be grabbing people out of their beds and taking them to gulags in the middle of fucking El Salvador? No, of course not. But this isn't helping matters in any way. And it's only going to turn uglier. And you got a fucking crazy motherfucker who is running the show who is willing to Kent State your ass. David in Hudsonville says he is 100% right. They are stupid garbage people. And, you know, most of them are also remarkably young, stupid individuals. Like, young, stupid people do different levels of things depending on where they are in the world, you know? Like, where we live, young and stupid is different than young and stupid in other parts of the world. Just so happens that young and stupid there means go in and take shit that's not yours. A couple of things, moments from all of this disruption that we need to talk about. I'll get to a little bit more of that as I don't know if it's getting any better over there. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a relatively new sponsor known as Pinball Land. They are in Rockford, Michigan. You can find them at pinball-land.com. Every retro video game under the sun. I was looking at the word land, so I grabbed the D off of it and put it onto the end of sun. Every retro video game under the sun at Pinball Land. You walk in, you pay him a few bucks, you pay for an hour. You have so much fun, you haven't even scratched the surface as to all the games that they have, so you go and you pay for another hour. They want you to visit. Now, we have our very first ever pinball orgy happening on Friday, June 20th. It starts at 8 p.m. when we meet at the Rockford Corner Bar. We're going to eat. You're going to drink. I'm going to watch you drink. You're going to take your drinks. You're going to walk one block to the east to Pinball Land. And then you're going to play and drink more. And then when you run out of booze, you go to any one of the other bars in the area that are part of the same little outdoor party network and get more booze and come back and play more games. Now, if you cannot attend our first ever Eric Zane Show podcast pinball orgy, go there on your own. When I was talking to Ryan, and by the way, they have private parties, they have gift cards. When I was talking with Ryan over there, he said, you know, a lot of times we have dads that are like your age and younger, Eric, that bring in their kids, and then the kids play, and the dads or moms just look on. He goes, I want the moms and dads there. I want them playing. So whether you're a kid or you're an adult, Pinball Land wants you. This is how it works. You go there for an hour, you give them $9. You want to play for 2 hours, it's $15. If you do $20, you can play all day. And you're like, who would do that all day? You'd be surprised. There's a lot to do in downtown Rockford. Free punch card. Receive your punch card on your first visit. Get a punch every time you visit. Your 11th visit is free. Wednesday night pinball tournaments. There you go. Hours of operation on the website. All there for you. Pinball-land.com. 114 Cortland Street, Rockford, Michigan. Thank you to Pinball Land. Jeremy says, I would do that all day. I would do that all day. That's who. I would too. I could see myself getting lost in Pinball Land. So anyway, that is Friday the 20th of June. And I already have a list of people. We're approaching 20. Just keep it in mind. Save that date. It's a week from Friday. We're going to have a great time. I think we're going to be blessed. Yeah, I know we are going to be blessed by the show's new power couple, Jeremy and Rebecca. They'll be signing autographs. I'm sure doing selfies. Yeah, but I mean, maybe if you get Jeremy, get on his good side, he might even let you sniff his fingers. Thank you to the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Buy now, refinance later at 231-332-6505. 231-332-6505. If you're thinking about getting a home and you want to get pre-approved, please consider Mario. Jeremy says he'll be signing titties. His SO says, you better only sign mine. It's a lot of titty talk. This is taken from the LA riots the other day. I played it on the Patreon, but I'm playing it again because I have an update. This reporter from Australia is on scene, reporting on the riots. And this happens. We're going to play it more than once, so we'll be able to pinpoint what's going on here.
After hours of standing off, this situation has now rapidly deteriorated. The LAPD moving in on horseback, firing rubber bullets at protesters, moving them on through the heart of LA.
You just...
Okay. So the cop shot the reporter with a rubber bullet. And that might have been one of the most... you know, like if you do something, you can always say, it was an accident. I didn't mean to. And I think that this guy might try that.
Come on, through the heart of LA.
But, okay. Okay, see this guy right there? That cop, the first one in line? He's like, oh, she's cute. I'm going to shoot her. And then...
You just shot the...
You okay?
I'm good.
Now, this ain't a Nerf gun. I'm pretty sure those rubber bullets are pretty hard rubber. And I think if they like hit you in the head, they can kill you. I haven't heard anything about this cop. I mean, the big bad internet is trying to find out who this guy is. But good luck with that. I think cops have a code, by the way. Like if in this scenario he wasn't using a rubber bullet gun, but in fact, like a rocket-propelled grenade cannon... And he raised it and shot her in the back, and she blew up into a billion pieces. The cops would not, like, rat the guy out. They'd say, hey, did you see anything? So I didn't see anything. Yeah, but he had a rocket-propelled grenade. He goes, I didn't see it. I was looking the other way. Well, did you hear it go off? I didn't hear anything. You know who this guy is? I've never seen him before in my life. Did he shoot her in the back with a rocket-propelled grenade? He goes, no. Why? I didn't see that. So I'm wondering if this guy is actually going to have anything done to him. Dave says it's far worse than being shot by a paintball gun. Yeah, I imagine. Rebecca says... That was very much not an accident. Chris said the cameraman hauled ass. Piano finger banger says 100% not an accident. Alan says, Crikey, you shot me, you cunt. Bob says she's not clearly labeled as press. And then he says that microphone could easily be mistaken for a World War II German stick grenade. Okay, now... Now you're talking. Now they have an out. It is acceptable now to shoot reporters if they do not have a vest that says press on it. Now, I did not know that. I did not know that it is okay to shoot the reporters if they're like, okay, we're here. We're Australian Sky News. And bah! You can have a camera. You can have a microphone. You can be an attractive reporter doing her job. If you don't have the vest, you're going to get shot. Kevin Kuiper says, I don't care that she's the press. You see, we're getting a lot of conflict here in the chat. Now, I don't think that they should have shot her at all. Because you will see, you notice, she's incredibly attractive.
Right at the LAPD, moving in on horseback.
And she's got a great accent.
And
she's athletic, blonde, dark roots, beautiful. Ready to report 9 News.
Them on through the heart of LA.
And all she wants to do is her job. And then this guy's like, hey, no vest. I saw another angle. And Bob is right. From the other angle, he put it down, looked right at the camera. And he said, no vest. Rebecca says she's also not doing anything but standing and talking. Oh, I know. She should not have been shot. This is ridiculous. Chris writes, quote, we investigated ourselves and we found we did no wrong. Signed, LAPD, probably. Quote, that's not the kind of hard balls I like to be shot with. Signed, reporter, afterwards. Then there's Jeremy. She's attractive and makes that super sexy noise when she gets hit. Almost Kelly Cheese level of hotness. This is not the only reporter to get shot. This guy is working for the New York Post. See guy here right by the back of this car? It's the same guy. This guy, he's the one who shot that chick. And they said, they called him in. They go, hey, we're going to need you to shoot this other guy. Let's watch. Okay, I made a mistake. It's this guy right here. That's the guy. All these other ones are also good at shooting reporters. But this guy right here, he is aiming at the reporter, and he's going to shoot him. This is such a good shot. You can actually see the bullet. Did you see that? There's the bullet. And it hit this dude in the fucking forehead. That noise? That was the rubber bullet hitting his head.
Watch out. All
right. What happened?
Just got shot in the head.
We're getting a nice... Okay, here's the slow-mo. Incoming! Whammo! Oh! Well, that was incredible. One more time. Jesus. They are not fucking around. This person with the comment, maybe use this as a training tape for reporters on how not to stand in the way of flying rubber bullets. This person wrote, bet you can't hit that guy in the head. Watch me. Oh, my God. This seems like probably in all the riots in the years that have come and gone. This is probably the most entertaining riot we have witnessed since the Rodney King riot. Badger says, fat chicken, okay, this was wrong. I don't understand that reference. Piano Finger Banger says it's like taking a Shea Weber slap shot to the face. So we can only hope for more of that. Now, if they're doing that to the reporters, what are they doing to the people that are looting the stores? Is it maybe they know it's a bad idea to shoot rubber bullets at the looters running away from the stores for fear of it making the riot worse? Or are these cops like, well, since we can't shoot the rioters, let us now shoot the white reporters? Perhaps that's it. Bob says L.A. needs to bring back the rooftop Koreans. In the Koreatown neighborhood of L.A. during the Rodney King riots, after the verdict was read that those white it was okay for those white cops to nearly murder Rodney King and all the riots that took place then, the hardworking Koreans said, fuck this shit. You are not going to ruin our stores and our restaurants. So they would hang out on rooftops, like you've got one store on one side of the street and another store on the other side of the street. And the one on this roof would be shooting at the entranceway of this store, and this one would be shooting at the entranceway of this store, like a crossfire. It was incredible. Starman 314 says, send in Ben Richards, the butcher of Bakersfield. Now, I don't know that reference either. Obviously, I think it must be a reference to somebody who was a sniper. Was there an incident where some guy named Ben Richards was shooting people? Chris K says, Running Man. Yeah, you guys, it's a different vibe here in the afternoon because I'm getting a lot of references that I just don't know. You guys are sharper than I am. So I know that somebody is getting those jokes. I'm not getting some of them, but I'm sure that they're good references, so that's fine. There's nothing better than a good reference. It doesn't necessarily have to be the quantity of people that get it, just as long as someone gets it and the quality of the poll. And that's obviously a good pull. But I'm on the outside looking in when it comes to send in Ben Richards, the butcher of Bakersfield. All right. Back home, right here in the great state of Michigan, we have now the second incident where some dude from China was trying to sneak in, I think stuff that will kill us. It's being listed as smuggling in biological materials into the U.S. for work at a University of Michigan laboratory. I remember there was one guy who was trying to sneak in a bunch of shit. And then there was a chick at University of Michigan. She's like, oh, no, I had nothing to do with this. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But I think she's been busted, too, now. This chick smuggled biological materials into the U.S. for her work at Michigan. Her name is Shengjuan Han. Per the complaint, she sent 4 packages to the U.S. from, guess what city in China? Let's see if we can all get what city in China this shit came from. Han was arrested at Detroit Metro Airport on Sunday. Again, this is the second person that has been busted doing this. You guessed correctly, Wuhan, China. As we get a leftover joke from Bob with L.A. needs Snake Plissken. Kurt Russell, outstanding. Let us get to this story.
A smuggling probe is widening after another University of Michigan scholar from China is accused of smuggling biological material into the U.S.
It's being called a threat to national security and part of an alarming pattern. Prosecutors say that the material is related to roundworms. The woman accused of smuggling it into Detroit Metro Airport yesterday was arrested.
Now, this comes 1 week after federal agents charged...
That doesn't sound sinister enough to me. Related to roundworms. What does that even mean? And what are they trying to do? Is this like an agricultural-based thing which could potentially have some type of negative impact if it was introduced to the wrong person, place, or thing, or what? What does that even mean?
Another U of M scholar from China was trying to smuggle a dangerous fungus into the U.S. that could be used to destroy food crops.
Okay, that was the first one that I was referencing. That one sounds a hell of a lot more... sinister, you know, and these aren't like morons either. These are the brightest of the bright, brightest students that are here in the U.S., you know.
7 News Detroit reporter Darren Cunningham sat in on today's hearing and is outside the courthouse with the details.
Chung Shin Han appeared in federal court alongside an interpreter speaking Mandarin Chinese. The prosecution wanted her to be detained, claiming she is a flight risk. The judge granted that detainment.
In this federal filing, Chung Shin Han, a research student in Wuhan, China, is accused of deception. Sunday, she landed at Detroit Metro Airport. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol officers stopped her for questioning. After allegedly lying, investigators say Han eventually admitted to previously sending biological materials to the United States to a couple of people at a laboratory at the University of Michigan.
Okay, so they must have known that that had happened in the past. And then when she was at the airport, I don't know, red flag on a manifest. And then a couple calls were made. Hey, go get her. And we got to start questioning her.
Feds say Han.
It's not like she had the shit on her at the time.
Lied on shipping documentation about what the packages contained. For example, calling Petri dishes plastic cups. In all, Han allegedly smuggled 4 packages to the U.S. in 2024 and 2025. And the complaint states those packages contained biological materials related to roundworms and a material often used to introduce genetic modifications of organisms. Han identified herself as a doctor.
Like venom, you know? Is that what we're talking about here?
Doctoral student at a university in China and claimed the materials were for research that she would be doing at the University of Michigan during a 1-year research project. Matthew Schneider, former U.S. attorney.
It certainly looks like the U.S. government and the U.S. attorney's office is stepping up their efforts to combat people who are bringing in pathogens or any other items without permits overseas into the United States and specifically from China.
Last week, a Chinese researcher and her boyfriend were arrested for allegedly smuggling a dangerous toxic fungus into the U.S., a toxin that's dangerous to humans, livestock, and crops. It was reportedly also to be used for research at the University of Michigan. The cases do not appear to be related.
This is not new. This has been happening for
a long time. What?
And the backing of the Chinese Communist Party is supporting this. And people in the Justice
Department... Look, I don't care as long as we don't lose TikTok.
...department had been warning about this for many, many years, and now the American public are finally starting to see more about what's been going on.
Han is due back in court Wednesday for her detention hearing. Outside federal court, Darren Cunningham, 7 News Detroit.
All right. I think that if we can get all that information ahead of time and know that these people are bringing this shit in, there's got to be an explanation as to why... they are bringing it in. I think we can all agree that none of what is being brought into the U.S. is supposed to help us. I would say that what they brought in is to kill us. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.